All right, as we roll on, we got a good one right now between West Virginia and Buffalo. Coming down to the wire with 2:10 to go. You got Virginia leading 64-62. And Buffalo, Bobby Hurley's team got the ball, so we'll keep you up to date on that. But joining me in the studio, always look forward to having him on my show. And now it's a lot easier because he's in the office right out the door. But we had this guy on for years and years and years. Last 20 years I've been doing talk shows. This guy has been one of my key guys because I always count on him, number one and number two, and probably the most important. He's very credible, and the people that work with him know what a asset he definitely is. And that's Jay Paris, now of the Mighty 1090. Jay, good Friday.
Nice to see you. And I think that Jumpin' Jack Flash was for me, right? Triple J, let's go.
That was probably more for me, man.
That you was Stones guy?
That was kind of when I grew up in the 70s.
Okay, I got you.
Of course, Mick Jagger's been around since about the 40s, hasn't he?
I hear you dance like Jagger. They wrote a song about it. Is that true?
Let's don't get carried away.
All right. Fluid hips is what I hear.
Yeah, let's don't get carried away.
All right.
Hey, let's we want to talk about a bunch of different things. I want to start with the Chargers.
Sure.
They haven't made the big splash, and I know the fans always look forward to.
Yeah, and the writers, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And, you know, people, oh, man, they signed that guy. They've signed some good players, some athletic guys.
Role players.
And I think that's the key. They are role players. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Jimmy Wilson, the kid out of Point Loma, played for the Dolphins. The signing yesterday of Patrick Robinson. Those guys are – they're depth guys. Yeah, they may come in and compete for jobs, but I see them as maybe being nickel and dime backs.
Yeah, you know, especially Jimmy Wilson, he could even go with die for the starting safety spot. I mean, they've lost Gilchrist. They've of course lost Sharice Wright as well. So I mean, it's championship caliber depth is how GM explained it to me one time, and you got to have the back ends because, Lord, as we found out last year, injuries come, and you better be ready for them.
Why do you think they let Sharice walk so easily?
He wasn't very good.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he played well at times.
He was okay. I mean, I think he led the league in pass interference. I think he had one interception in 2 or 3 years. I think that was a pretty easy decision.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't show me much.
There's times when I thought I thought when he first came in, he got banged up and missed significant time.
Right,
but there were times where I thought he played really well, and I thought he was making progress. And, you know what, he's a four-year guy. A lot of these defensive backs don't start kind of figuring it out till about year four or five.
Well, you got to consider, too, he's doing all that with a tepid pass rush in front of him. You know, it's hard to guard those guys forever, as you know, Coach.
Yeah, you got to give him a little leeway there. But he went up with the 49ers, signed a one-year deal for $4 million, and another guy signed with the 49ers, a guy named Reggie Bush. How about that?
Yeah, you know, for a team that's looking for running back depth, you know, there was a little chatter that he may come here. You know, I'm not sure they want to corner their market on 30-year-old running backs. But
he's still got something left.
Yeah, if he can stay on the field. I mean, he had something last year, but then the knee started barking and all that. But it would have been a neat little homecoming story. But they still got some work to do there because as of today, Brandon Oliver is your starting running back.
That is correct. And you got Donald Brown still under a deal and Danny Woodhead coming back. And hopefully he's able to be as effective after that awful injury as he was prior to that. Your thoughts on the Stevie Johnson signing?
You know, you're getting the Stevie Johnson from San Francisco 49ers. You know, he had, Andrew Gatchkar had two less touchdowns than Stevie Johnson last year. Okay, so we got that. Yeah, 400.
We're going to get to Gatchkar, by the way.
Okay, but are you getting the guy in Buffalo who had three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons? You know, if you get that guy, you got something. But, you know, let's see if the years are starting to add up there, too. But Philip Rivers, he can make Joey Bag of Donuts look good. So, you know, put Rivers and Stevie Johnson. I think he'll be productive. I just don't think he's going to be number one productive.
Okay, the other day they signed defensive lineman Mitch Unrein to a two-year $1.9 million deal. Last year with Denver, inactive, 9 of 17 games last year. And prior to that, he'd played a lot of snaps the prior couple of years.
Yeah, it's some good depth there. And, you know, Mike McCoy is familiar with him from his time in Denver, I would think. And, you know, that defensive line now, I wouldn't be penciling in Kendall Reyes as a starter. And you know, they got to mix that up a little bit there. You know, still looking for the big old stud in the middle. Sean Lessimore, you know, he puts rocks in his pocket when he steps on the scales to get up to 300. He's not quite that big Jamal Williams guy. Keep an eye on Ricardo Matthews. I think that was one of the signings or guys they brought back. I mean, he was pretty darn productive in a limited time with the Chargers last year. I bet he pushes Reyes in camp.
What do you make about all this talk about Phillip Rivers this week? And I mean, there is a scenario out there that, you know, I don't think it'll happen.
Right.
But you got the Jets. They spent a ton of money on Darrell Revis.
Right.
They spent money on Cromartie. They re-signed that veteran linebacker, David Harris. They made the trade with Chicago to bring in Brandon Marshall. That tells me these guys are all veterans. These guys aren't going to be around forever, but there's some money tied up in these guys now. They want to win. They've got Geno Smith. They made a trade here a couple of weeks ago to get Ryan Fitzpatrick from Houston. Hey, you're in the Big Apple. You're going against the New York Giants. You got Eli Manning over there. I mean, there could be a scenario where the Jets called the Chargers and, hey, what's it going to take to get Rivers?
Oh, wouldn't that be juicy for the back page of the New York sports page? Is Eli on one side of the MetLife Stadium and Phillip, the man he was traded for, on the other. You also hear the chatter to Tennessee for the number two pick. He goes down there and gets reunited with Ken Wisenhunt. And, you know, there's nothing more Southern than Phillip Rivers. I'm sure he'd love to play at Tennessee. I would just be very, very careful before you chase a elite quarterback, and I do say elite quarterback, out of the town. We've lived through what happens when Humphreys left. We lived through what happened when Dan Fouts left. I mean, those guys don't come along very often. That said, you always judge an NFL team by their deeds and their actions, not by their words. And at any time, they could re-sign Phillip Rivers to extension. They haven't done that. At any time, they could bring in some impact players that shows you want to win right now and maybe pushing the chips in the middle of the table. So far, they haven't done that.
Well, someone could say, you know, unless they really think they can win now, then maybe they should trade him. Because
yeah.
By the time they're able to win, he's going to be 36 years of age, and you're probably going to be on the hook for at least $40 million in guaranteed money with the quarterback.
That's true, but it's a quarterback league. I mean, you always got to be careful who you're pushing out and what's coming in behind it. You know, do you trade him to Tennessee and bring Marcus Mariota in here? Is he going to be the one Oregon quarterback that succeeds in the NFL, and I can bring up Akili Smith and Joey Harrington. We go from there. Oregon quarterbacks have done well, but they haven't. That always hasn't transferred to the next level.
Norm Van Brocklin did all right.
He was good, and he had the Hollywood starlets after him, too. He did all right off the field as well.
That's a pretty good call, Norm Van Brocklin.
Not bad. James Mansfield, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I want to stay with Phillip for
sure.
Just a minute. Now, here's the deal. His contract's up at the end of
right.
this year.
Right.
I mean, what kind of number could you put on Phillip Rivers going forward? I mean, what do you think he can command? If he has another year like he had this year, and he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, what do you think the Chargers would be willing to pay him, and what do you think Phillip would look to sign for?
You know, it'd have to be 4 years, $85, $90 million, I'm sure. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, with two Super Bowl titles, just got, you know, 4 years, $87 million, I think $20 million up front. Eli Manning with two Super Bowl titles and two Super Bowl MVPs, he's looking to make some money too. Phillip might be wise by letting these guys set the market and say, well, I might be a step below him, maybe. Certainly on the Super Bowl resume part, but he wants to be paid in that ballpark. I mean, this is a QB league, man, and if you got a good one, you got to pay him.
They haven't been in the playoffs but one time in the last 4 years.
Yep, not Phillip's fault. Look upstairs. I mean, 4 out of 5 years, they haven't. It's really a crime I don't want to say wasted, but squandered Phillip Rivers' prime and not being able to, you know, one time they got the AFC title game.
We've seen that happen to a few other players in this town.
Yes, we have, and one of them has a beard.
but
it's not Eric Weddle either.
Sooner or later,
right.
They're going to have to go after a young quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, here's the question that I would have. Does Tom Telesco really think that maybe Marcus Mariota is a guy that can be the franchise quarterback? Okay, and he feels, you know what, we might be able to work a deal with Tennessee or
right.
with the Jets, because the Jets desperately need a starting quarterback, and Tennessee does as well. Could that be looking at free agency? Hey, we don't want to wrap up money in a guy that after next year will be 34 years of age. Sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal, and he'll be our quarterback at 37 or 38. Sooner or later, the Chargers are going to have to do something at that position, whether it's draft and develop a guy behind Phillip for a couple of years. At the end of the day, Jay, I think it'll be interesting because Tom Telesco, let's remember, and I realize there were some other circumstances involved of Peyton Manning being released
sure.
there in Indianapolis, the neck surgeries, but Tom Telesco was in the front office of the Indianapolis Colts when Peyton Manning was let go.
And he wasn't he wasn't in the front office when Phillip was traded for, you know, and sometimes you're tied a little bit more to those marquee players if you were responsible for bringing him in. But I just think you know, of all the things that's wrong with the Chargers, I'm not too sure Phillip Rivers is it. But I hear you. He could bring back a lot of pieces the other direction.
Well, in the final thing on that, I'm not convinced Mariota is going to be a great NFL quarterback. That's me. I don't know your opinion on that, but I really kind of wonder where that's going to go. He may hang around the league because he's a good guy, he's a hard worker, but right. I'm not convinced he's going to be the next great franchise quarterback for anybody.
Yeah, is he going to be a Russell Wilson or a Kaepernick, you know, or is he going to be a guy, Dennis Dixon? You know, you got to be careful there, especially if you're chasing out.
Well, you know
like
your Oregon quarterback pretty well.
Yeah, my boy applied there. What can I say?
Oh, that's good stuff. Last thing on the Chargers.
Right.
Where else do you think they're going to go during free agency right now? What do you think the next next pin to drop?
You know, I think Chris Hairston's been in, offensive lineman. Joe Mays, you know, they need a little depth to that inside linebacker position. They've lost two guys from there, Reggie Walker, Catchgar, as you mentioned. You know, I think they just keep building and, you know, building with these role players and hope he hits a home run in the draft. They got to get a running back as well and a pass rusher at some point, which sure would be nice.
Only thing I wanted to say about Andrew Gatchgar, here's a guy, and I remember interviewing him right after he got drafted. Seventh-round draft pick. They brought him in. I don't think they ever really expected this guy to make
right.
the team, and if he did, he was going to be a special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great story. He gets a nice contract with the Dallas Cowboys, and I think there's another example of a guy with a great attitude, came in with the right attitude. Hard work pays off. Every time, you know, he'd get pushed to the side, he was still working hard. And now he's going to be financially probably set for the rest of his life. Hard work does pay off. I'm sorry he's not staying in a Charger uniform. He'll be playing for Dallas. But that's if you like to watch guys that are underdogs, that's a great story.
It's a great story, and it shows what happens if you have flexibility and you're willing to take on any role. And you got to remember, these colleagues come in from college. They were the big dog on campus. And you say special teams, and they can't spell it or play it, you know. So Andrew jumped in, played the special teams, earned his stripes there, got on the field, and just had a nose for the ball. You know, some stuff doesn't show up on tape. Some stuff doesn't show up on practice. But from Sunday to 1 to 3, he was usually around the pile.
We'll step aside. When we come back, we're going to touch on the stadium situation a little bit and get an update on where that's at. They met with the city council yesterday, and I know Jay has done his homework on that. He'll share his thoughts and where that went. Jay Paris in studio with Coach John Quintero. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting out to your phone call shortly as well. This is San Diego sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
It's Scott and BR.
Hello, is this thing on?
Hello.
Today at 3 on San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Mighty 1090 time, 1:51. Hope everyone having a great afternoon out there. We're having a good time here at the Mighty 1090. Looking forward to Aztec basketball tonight. Pre-game show at 6 with Big Craig Elston. And then at 6:40, tip-off against St. John's and the Aztecs in Charlotte, North Carolina. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to go to Charlotte. We're going to be joined by Big Ted Leitner. He's got to be bringing his A game tonight. But in studio this half hour, Jay Paris, longtime sports writer in San Diego, very well respected, and now a member of our team here at the Mighty 1090. Jay, let's get to the stadium a little bit.
Sure.
It's been not totally quiet this week, but it simmered down just a little bit as the Citizens Stadium Advisory Group continues to try to formulate a viable financial plan for the Mission Valley site. They met yesterday with the city council, and I know you talked to people that were there and are in the know. How did it go?
I think it went pretty well. But I think Adam Day, the spokesman for CSAG, he kind of raised a few eyebrows when he said about the stadium that it might not have all the bells and whistles. And I think Jerry Jones down there with Jerry World has kind of set the standard of what NFL owners like. Now, will the Spanos be agreeable to a stadium that maybe doesn't have every shiny thing in the world on it? You know, Mr. Davis talking about a stadium in the range of $700 million and $1.5 billion. You talk to the Chargers, most of their estimations are $1.5 to $1.7, $1.2 in there. So it's going to be very interesting to see if the Chargers will accept a stadium that, you know, maybe is a little more middle line instead of being Beverly Hills. And I hate to use Beverly Hills where they might be going, but it's we're still so early in this. And I was talking to one of the committee guys today and said when they give their plan to Mayor Faulkner in May, it's going to be about 10% done. I mean, then that's when the really heavy lifting is going to start. So we still got some bridges to cross here.
Well, I mean, this has to get moving a little bit.
Yeah, I would think
the
so.
The Chargers, they want to know here in the next couple of months whether or not there's going to be a stadium or not, from what I understand.
Right, and that's just the timeline of everything that's going on in L.A. I mean, they passed the ball around for about 14 years, and now they're on the shot clock, and they've got to get something done soon, or at least have a sense of what direction all this is going. So, you know, Mission Valley, I think people are starting to get more acceptable of that site. I think it's still a lot of people would have preferred the downtown. And
well, there's still some squawking about
that. There still
that.
Is, and I still think it's an easier sell, that you could sell something for San Diego downtown instead of a stadium sticking out in Mission Valley that really won't have a roof on it, and really, you know, I've never heard so much of monster trucks. I mean, I think that's a everyday circuit from hearing of people that's going to fill the
Qualcomm
dates.
Qualcomm lost some monster trucks this year to Petco Park.
And Petco Park is still going to be there when the new stadium is going to be there. I mean, so they're going to be in-city competition. So, you know, the Mission Valley plan is impressive when you include the river and really do a development down there. But let's be clear, too. I mean, there's going to be some people squawking in Mission Valley. I mean, it's
there'd be people squawking anywhere.
That's true, but Friars Road isn't exactly an expressway, and you put more development down there. I'm not saying good and bad. I'm just saying you better talk to those people and not try to ram something through without getting their input.
Don't you think they should have already got their input?
I would think so. I think you know that they did probably in 2004, 2005.
The train's already left the station on that one right now. Could have done it ahead of time.
Yeah, you could have done a lot of things ahead of time, but looking forward hasn't been the city's
strong
stroke.
Hey, public transportation. That's
the
key.
I love it. Trolley stop right
there.
Problem
is, people in Southern California really aren't into all that much public transportation.
I don't know. You look at that Amtrak, everybody coming down from L.A. and Orange County on Charger Sunday, you might be change your mind.
What do you think the real percentage is of Charger fans coming, number one, from Orange County, and then combine Orange County and Los Angeles?
Yeah, and maybe even Inland Empire as well. I know the club says 25%. You know, at one time they said 30%. You know, I'd probably go.
Well, I'd heard 33, but yeah. It's down to 25 now.
Yeah, we're losing ground here, aren't we? You know, I'd probably say 20% or so. But, you know, I know a lot of people in Orange County love coming down to the Charger games and love riding the train. But when you see the Chargers matched against the Rams or Raiders up there, that 25-30% seems to disappear.
Well, once it goes to Mayor Faulkner,
right,
and we understand – the date is May 20th. If they get it there quicker, better. You know,
right,
that'd be much better. But then the Chargers, I've heard Dean Spanos say that, you know, they want to take a look at it.
Sure.
And they want to talk to different people. And they figure it'll be about a two-month process before we're really going to know.
Yeah, it's going to be mid-July, mid-summer. It's, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how the attendance is this season. You know, all this has really upset a lot of Charger fans, especially the, you know, jumping into an agreement with the Raiders potentially. So, you know, that's going to be right when the training camp hits, and it'd be a shame if we were talking stadium talk more than we were talking roster talk.
Are you hearing anything up in Oakland right now from your sources?
You know, it's been pretty quiet up there. You know, there's been a lot of master plans, but I think Oakland's broke, you know, from paying for the Raiders previously. So it'd have to be private equity, private investment, which happened in San Francisco, which has happened in a lot of places. It's not going to happen here. Let's be clear. This is going to be as Jim Steig says, a San Diego gumbo. I mean, to get this thing financed, it's not going to be a magic bullet. So we're going to throw everything in the pot and stir it up, Coach.
How important do you think Jim Steig has been during this process? Because the people that are on the committee, I was mentioning earlier, you read their resumes.
Right.
I mean, they've done some incredible things in their life, but none of them have been around the sports world like Jim Steig.
Yeah, Jim's connections to the NFL are legendary. I mean, he made the Super Bowl almost what it is with its fan experience and the halftime show. And, I mean, he can pick up a phone and call Park Avenue and the new NFL headquarters and, you know, caller ID. They know who's calling. And not a lot of guys can do that. So he knows the ins and outs of sports. He knows how to work a room. He knows how to work a crowd. And if there's one guy who could bring this community together, Jim be the guy.
Well, not only is he smart, but he treats people the way he wants to be treated. And I think a lot of executives in his walk of life, they don't necessarily walk by that mantra.
Yeah, he's no better than anybody else, but just as good as anyone. So, you know, he treats the janitor and the CEO the same way, and you always admire a man like that.
That's exactly right. Hey, Jay Paris, always a pleasure. Good to see you in studio.
I got another half hour of material here. That's it?
Yeah, but Leitner said I got to get you off because he's coming on. You know Leitner, he likes the airwaves.
Yeah, he likes that red light, doesn't he?
Yeah. Very good. Hey, have a great weekend. All right. Enjoy all the hoop.
Will do. See you, mate.